Hello, everyone. It's time for Fantasy Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. I'm your host, Pete Costanz. This is episode 186, season 8. Today's date is December 20th, 2022. And thank you for joining me today. Here's another Christmas episode that I will talk about. On today's program, I will talk about my earliest memories of my first Christmas tree that my father and my mom brought to our home at a young age, of course, when I was a little boy. And also, I will talk about the Christmas anime shorts, Hard Rock, Coco and Joe, Susie Snowflake, and Frosty the Snowman. I did an episode about them last year. That's episode 89. If you want to listen to that one, or you have listened to it, or if you want to listen to it again, help yourself. So I received an email from someone that says, can you please do that, do an episode of that, even though I did last year. And I said, all right, why not? I had fun talking about that last year, so I'll do it again. Okay, so this will be a fun show. All right, before I get started, the program will go into a commercial break. And this program is brought to you by Candy Graham from Western Union. And here's a commercial from 1972. It's a Christmas commercial. And the man who is speaking is actor Peter Lawford. I remember this commercial very well. So sit back and enjoy, and I'll be right back. And I'll talk a little bit about Candy Graham and Peter Lawford. Okay? Thank you, everyone.
Hello. Peter Lawford here with an absolutely sensational idea that'll save you from this kind of last-minute Christmas shopping. It's a Western Union Candy Graham, a gift package of delicious chocolates you can send by Western Union, with your own Christmas telegram right on the top. And inside is a delicious assortment of kitchen-fresh creams, caramels, nougats, and chocolate-covered nuts. Taste-tempting variety. And it's so easy to send. Just call Western Union and say, I want to send a Candy Graham immediately. With the speed of a telegram, your Candygram is on its way. A special Christmas gift to a very special someone. To certain areas, Candygrams will be mailed. You can order a 1 or 2 pound box and charge it if you like. Hey, use Night Letter Service and save money. Call Western Union right now and order your Christmas Candygram. World's sweetest gift by wire.
Okay, everyone, I am back. I hope you enjoyed the commercial for Candy Graham from Western Union. That commercial is from 1972, features actor Peter Lawford. A couple of things I'll mention about this commercial. One, Candy Graham. I remember these commercials very well when I was little. I was fascinated by that because I love chocolates. I love sweets. And they look so decadent and delicious when I saw those. And he was the spokesman for that. I don't know if anyone else was. I think so. I'm not sure. And believe it or not, it's still in business. You can order, but you do it. You can telephone or you can order online. You know, the 21st century is wonderful. But back then, they used Western Union, which I believe is a telegram. You know, people did that. And you don't do telegrams. Western Union is still around, but they do, they're more advanced now electronically. But back then, you use a telegram if you want to send, you know, a letter. Mostly it's for some urgent news to do that, like in the old days. And I never received one or sent one myself. And that's kind of cool. As for Peter Lawford, he was a famous actor. He's also best known as the brother-in-law of John F. Kennedy, the president of the United States, because he married his sister. And he was a member of the Rat Pack. And like, for example, Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., who else? Can't think of the top of my head. Dean Martin, Joey Bishop, you know, and they made that movie Ocean's 11. Great movie. I love that movie. And he was in a lot of movies, you know, musicals. And he was from London. England, that is, and then came over to the United States and did some television. You know, I remember him. He had a very good voice. You know, very. He was kind of seductive, like that. I think women fell for that. And he was born September 7th, 1923, in London, and he passed away on Christmas Eve, 1984. He was 61 years old. He didn't do much acting towards the end, so that's a shame. But I liked him. I really did. Okay. At the beginning of the program, I said I was going to talk about my earliest memories of my first Christmas tree, and then I'll talk about the film shorts, Hard Rock, Coco and Joe, Susie Snowflake, and of course, Frosty the Snowman. Okay, but first we'll talk about my memories of my first Christmas tree and get to the good stuff at the towards the end. What I can remember is, let's see, we lived in the South Shore neighborhood in Chicago, and I was about maybe 3 or 4. And I remember around Christmas time, I remember something shiny and bright and colorful, and that was the first Christmas tree. There's a picture of me somewhere. It's on Facebook, my photos, but it's not very clear. There's me sitting on the floor, and there's a little Christmas tree, and that was from our first apartment. And I don't think my brother was born yet. I have two brothers. And then we moved to another apartment in 1965, about a block away. And then my other brother was born in 67. And I remember there's a picture of us with my mom and three of us. And standing in front of the Christmas tree. You can find it on my profile on Facebook. And it's a beautiful photo of that, and it was not a real tree. We have never bought a real tree in our lives. My mom disliked it because it makes a mess. There's pine needles all over the floor. The advantage of a real tree is it smells good, which it does smell good. But if you put it up and you leave it there for a while, even before Christmas, it starts to die, and it's it's terrible. And then once Christmas is over, you throw it away like that. And, like I said before, we never bought a real tree. We had an artificial one. First, we had a small one, and then we bought another one. I don't know where my parents bought it. I'm not sure. I forgot to ask her. And so we always had that tree. And then we moved to Roseland. In 1969, in the neighborhood, we had another tree. There's pictures of us. It was beautiful. They're not too big, not too small. It was medium. And then my mom decorated with the beautiful ornaments. Some were glass, plastic. This happens to everybody. One time, if you unpack your Christmas decorations, somehow the ornaments get broken. They're very fragile, and they fall on the floor and all that. But they're gorgeous like that. And then we moved to Ashburn neighborhood in 1974 and brought the Christmas tree then. And then in 1975, the neighborhood got flooded. And it was a big flood, and our basement got flooded. And the tree and the decorations got ruined. We salvaged a few, but that was a shame. So my mom had to buy new ones. It's terrible because I remember they were, when I was little, they were very pretty, different designs. Oh, I was fascinated by that when I was little. I don't know, I couldn't keep my eyes off of it, of those, that is. And we switched, then we changed trees because they got older, and, but we still never bought a real one. I never wanted one anyway, really. I don't know why. Never care for it. People told me they go to a tree lot in their neighborhoods, or they drive to somewhere far away in the suburbs, or go to Indiana to get it, and they select. It's nice, but it's a hassle, like to, if you tie it on your car, or if you have an SUV, I don't know if an SUV will fit. We have to strap it on top of the car. And then, And then you bring it in. You have to get help to do that. And then it smells wonderful. It really does. But, excuse me, you know, I posted a photo yesterday of what I'm going to talk about on this program. And it's a picture of an aluminum tree, probably made in the 1950s. And it was silver. And then I mentioned this before in a previous podcast episode about the color wheel. And you plug it in the color wheel. And at night, you turn it on. And it shows different colors on the aluminum and looks gorgeous. It really does. We never owned one of that. And a lot of people mentioned, where did they buy their Christmas trees? Where did they buy their first ones? And they remember mostly was at Pope Brothers, you know, the appliance store. They sold those. Of course, the Santa, the Pope Brothers Santa, the snowman. They were big promotional items during the 60s. I think in the late 50s, 60s, yeah. And they stopped that after that. And they're collector's item. If you try to find them on eBay or an antique store, good luck. Always wanted those. I have a Santa and a snowman in my garage, but it's not the Polk Brothers Santa or the snowman. It's a copy of those, not the original ones. And we never took them out, you know, because it's a hassle. And let's see. So, you know, it's wonderful when you have a Christmas tree that's, you place the presents underneath it and it looks gorgeous. You take your picture and then you take photos of your family together. It's nice. And it's a lot of work to put it up and decorate. And, you know, excuse me. I mean, don't mean to cough. And then you can just, the worst part is to take them down. You know, the Christmas is over. You remove all the ornaments and the lights and pack them away. Also take the tree down and then you put it in the garage or in the attic or wherever you store it. And I hate doing that. You know, plus it's a lot. First, it's a lot of work. Second of all, it's beautiful. You wish you would leave it all year round, but you know, it doesn't feel right to do that. Also, another debate is, when do you take it down? You know, I've seen this over the years, even on social media. People say, oh, no, we take it down during the Christmas season, after Christmas. Some take it down New Year's Day, New Year's Eve. They take it a couple days after New Year's Day. Some people leave it until the January 6th. Because it's 12 days of Christmas. That's still Epiphany Day, which it should be, in my opinion and other people. But, you know, one person said, I take it down Christmas Day. I got sick of it. That is the most innocuous thing I've ever heard in my life. Why would they do that? That's awful. That is awful. You know, but for me, we leave it around. My mom leaves it up till January 7th, because January 7th is my brother's name's day. We leave it there. And then when weather permitting, we don't turn it on. We just leave it there until to find the right day to take it down and put it away. Usually we leave it like about a week, but we don't turn on the tree, you know, like that. So it's funny when I read comments on Facebook and Twitter, people tell them, oh, no, we take it down December 25th. 27th, 29th, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, etc. Oh, bro. That's hilarious. I love it. So, you know, remembering the first sighting of your first Christmas tree at home is a beautiful memory. And it has been for me. I love it. It's my favorite holiday. Always have, always will be, you know, and also, you decorate around your home, your kitchen, your living room, your basin. Just it's the Christmas spirit. It's a nice feeling. It's wonderful. It really is. And people mention, like, for example, they bought their first, like before I said, they bought their first Christmas tree at Polk Brothers, you know, the artificial ones. I remember the stores that sold them, like Goldblatt's, Kresge's, Turnstile, Venture, Sears did that. Marshall Fields, probably about that. And then Carson's, any store that's gone now. I don't know. Today you would go to a American Sales. There was one store called FIM. They used to sell Christmas trees. That was in the 80s and 90s. I remember that. So I can't think of anything else of that. So it's a lot of fun and it's beautiful. Okay. Next up, we're going to talk about those Christmas shorts, Hard Rock Cocoa and Joe, Susie Snowflake, and Frosty the Snowman. And those cartoons are shown every year on television on WGN-TV, Channel 9 in Chicago, over the years since probably the 50s when they first were shown. Before I get started, I'm gonna play another commercial. And right now, here is a commercial for Illinois Bell, and this is the Phone Center store. And there's a Christmas commercial from 1979. Remember that store where you bought those phones? Like, for example, Snoopy, or those French phones, or the ones that hang on the wall that you can write on the board. I'll talk a little about that when I come back. So sit back and enjoy, everyone. Thank you.
This Christmas, you can be practical.
A phone of your very own.
Or practically unforgettable. Just choose genuine Bell phones from your Phone Center store. Whatever style you choose, you'll know under the shell, it's genuine Bell.
Let me take a picture. Let me say cheese.
So this Christmas, be choosy. Get genuine Bell at your Phone Center store.
Okay, everyone, I'm back. I hope you enjoyed the commercial for the Bell Phone Center store. I remember the commercials in the store. There are a few of them on YouTube, if you care to view. And there was one commercial that features Robin Williams. And this is around 1977, probably around the time before he started Mork and Mindy on the TV show. He was on Laugh-In on those specials. They aired six episodes. He was part of the ensemble cast. I remember watching him there. He was hilarious in that. And then he got hired by Gary Marshall, who produced the TV series Happy Days. And he appeared on one episode of that. His character was Mork from Mork. That took off. He battled Fonzie. That's a classic episode. And then he got his own TV show. And ran for about 4 years. Yeah, 4 years. And still funny. I haven't seen it in a long time. I bought the DVD, the complete series, a while back. I'm going to start watching it because it's been a while since I've seen it. I watched it when it was airing when I was in high school. And unfortunately, he passed away a few years ago. Let's see what else. Yeah, I remember one episode of Mork and Mindy where Penny Marshall's character, Laverne DeFazio, was there, and she was set up for a date with him. That was funny. But that didn't work out well. Okay. And as for the Bell Phone Center store, I remember the store at Ford City Shopping Center on the southwest side of Chicago. I used to see it. I went in there maybe a couple times. I never bought a phone from there. You know, we always got our phones from Illinois Bell, you know, like that. But later on, you could purchase your own phone like you do today. And, you know, the landlines, that is. And I remember there were different kinds, like the Mickey Mouse one. There was the French one and the slim line ones. They're round like that, in different colors, you know, different colors, different styles. And it was beautiful like that. You know, landlines today, very few people have them. I still have one. I still do. It's, to me, it's convenient. And it's, in case of an emergency, I have a cell phone, but it's a clarity of it. You listen very clearly, and it's not bad. I tend to keep it as long as I can. I don't know if they're going to do away with it forever. I don't see that happening, but I think a lot of people depend on it for emergencies. But we have our iPhones, you know, cell phones, that is. That's how it is. Okay. Now let's get down to the good stuff. We're going to talk about these the Christmas cartoon shorts. First off, we're going to talk about Hard Rock, Coco, and Joe. And it was also known as the Three Little Dwarfs. And it was based on a song. The band's name is Stuart Hamblin. And it's about three Santa Claus helpers who help who ride on Santa's sleigh. They help him, you know, load the presents, you know, and he'll be on his way to deliver all the presents to all the children all over the world. And this first aired in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. And it was not from Chicago, no. And it was filmed in black and white. And then it started airing on WGN-TV, Channel 9 in Chicago in the mid-50s. And I don't know if it aired. Usually, I used to see it on Garfield, Goose, and Friends, hosted by Fergie Thomas. I don't know if it started there. Probably not. I don't know. I wasn't born yet. And, when I was growing up in the late 60s and early in the 70s, Fergie Thomas would always present this cartoon. Like every year, Christmas time. I don't know if Bozo Circus aired it. Not at first. I don't believe so. Or Ray Rayner. Maybe later. I think later on he did, but not back then. And it was created by a production company called Centaur Productions. And the artist that with the stop-motion talents, his name was Hua Ming Chang. And there's I found a picture of him on the internet. You know, and it's very short. It runs about close to 3 minutes, and it's the famous song. And, you know, it goes like, Ole, 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 Donner and Blitzen, away, away. Ole, 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 I-O. I'm Ron. I'm Hard Rock. I'm Coco. I'm Joe. Yeah, you get that. And they sang that chorus many times during the short, probably about three or four like that. But it was charming and it was nice. Very, it looks dated and, you know, it's not fancy, but it's cute and it's lovable. So what? It's great, you know. And, you know, it's been shown on for many years. When I don't know if they showed this during when Channel 9 showed Christmas movies, maybe, I'm not sure, but now it's shown every year still. When Dean Richards hosts Bozo Gar and Ray, that special airs every year since 2005. Yeah, it's been on forever. People still watch it. They really do. They do show Hard Rock, Coco, and Joe, and also Susie Snowflake and Frosty the Snowman, which is kind of cool. And you can buy it on DVD or you can watch it on YouTube, you know, wherever is convenient, you know. And I remember the Smith, Walter Smith furniture store, they had promotional when they did for their furniture, they have them on DVD. So if you buy, I think if you bought some furniture there, you get a free DVD, I guess. I don't remember. We'll see about that. And, you know, so I had an old VHS tape. I bought it at a comic book convention, and it did feature those shorts. So I have them there. But I transferred them to DVD, so I can watch them anytime if I'd like. But I can still watch them on television or on YouTube. Okay. The next one, I'm going to talk about Susie Snowflake. That is based on a song. It was written by Sid Tepper and Roy C. Bennett. And the first singer that sang it was Rosemary Clooney in 1951, which I didn't know at the time when I was growing up. But then I found out. And, you know, when you hear the lyrics of the song, it doesn't mention about Christmas. Not really. It's like set in Christmas. And then, you know, the beginning song, Here Comes Susie Snowflake. You can't get that song out of your head like the rest of them. And it was also produced by Centaur Productions, also aired in Johnstown, Pennsylvania first. And it's fun. I love the short where there was a, if you remember, there's a man standing outside the house. And I think Susie Snowflake hits her magic wand and all the snow falls on him. I think it's funny. But it's like the other one, Hard Rock, Coco and Joe. It's not state of the art. I mean, it looks, back then it was, but it's also cute and charming. And you can't get the song out of your head. And it's also shown every year. And it was shown on Garfield, Goose and Friends also. On Channel 9 in Chicago. So, and it was also created again by Wong Ming Chang. He did that. And I see the records of the song on eBay. You know, it's a 78 RPM record like that. And the version that Rosemary Clooney sings, I like it. It's very cute. And you're ding, 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 ding. Can't get that out of my head, you know. And Susie Snowflake was a snowflake, you know. And she would fly around and then she'd go tap, tap, tap on your window there. See? I can't get it out of my head. And it affects everybody. Okay, next up, that's the last one, is Frosty the Snowman. And this short, let me give you a little history of this. It was a popular Christmas song. It was written by two men, Walter Rollins and Steve Nelson. And it was first recorded by Gene Autry. He's famous for his song, Up on the Roof House. Remember that? Oh, oh, oh. I like that song. And also he sang Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And that was written after the successful recording of Gene Autry's version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And I've heard this, he sang it very well. And of course, there were other artists, you know, other singers that covered it. Like, for example, Nat King Cole, Guy Lombardo, Perry Como, Johnny Mathis, Bing Crosby, Rosemary Clooney, Kate Smith, I believe. A lot of Frank Sinatra, he sang it. I'm just saying on top of my head. I have so many Christmas songs on my Apple Music, like that. And the cartoon short of this was. It was created in 1950, around the time the song was introduced. It was a 3-minute animated short. And it had a bouncy, jazzy capovella version, you know. And thumpity, thump, thump, thumpity, they did that. And it was from the UPA studio. And it was filmed in black and white, just like Susie Snowflake and the other one I mentioned. And they used to show that, of course, on Garfield, Goose and Friends. And then probably Ray Rayner and Buzz the Circus later on. And it was also... they showed that, of course, in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, which I forgot to mention the call letters, WJAC. Okay. And so you remember the cartoon, the animation, you know, the animated cartoon that came out in 69 or 70, Frosty the Snowman, which they show every year on television. And Jimmy Durante sings this song. I love that one. And the voice of Frosty Snowman is by comedian Jackie Vernon. And it's with the kids. And they placed his hat on. And when he came to life and he said, Happy Birthday. Also had Professor Hinkle. He wanted that hat. I used to watch this commercial every year. Every year. You know, it's still funny. And still charming to watch that. But, you know, the UPA version, it's like, thumpity thump thump thumpity thump, and does that, you know, with all the kids. And it wasn't good looking, but it's still fun to watch. It really is. And so we have these enduring classics every year to watch on TV or on the internet or DVD. That's a great childhood memory. Still brings a nice warm feeling, you know, just say at a time where everything was beautiful and you didn't have a care in the world. Okay. All right. So that's it for today. Let me do a recap of what I talked about. I talked about my earliest memories of my first Christmas tree. Also the Christmas animated shorts, Hard Rock Coco and Joe, Susie Snowflake, and Frosty the Snowman. And once this episode is published, you can listen wherever podcasts are available. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Breaker, Overcast. Also, it'll be ready on my YouTube channel, Vanishing Outland Stories. I had a little problem with that earlier on my last episode. It's going to take a little time, but I'll fix it. So eventually, it'll be published on that. You know, I'll upload it and it'll be ready. And subscribe. Please subscribe on the apps and also on my YouTube channel. So you can get the, you'll receive a notification of the next episode, which I will do. As for the next episode, I don't think I'll do one this weekend because it's Christmas. It's Christmas Eve on Saturday. Christmas Day is Sunday. Plus, we're having a snowstorm. It's coming. It should be coming Thursday and Friday. Oof. I love a white Christmas, but that's too much. And it's going to be cold. Oh, it's going to be cold. But you got to think of your family and Christmas. The weather, I know it's a hindrance and it's a pain in the butt, but spending time with your, spending the holidays with your family, that is beautiful. It really is. I love it too. You have wonderful food. You could sing if you like. And listen to Christmas music too. And watch Christmas movies and specials on television or on your DVD player or streaming. I did that a couple of days ago. I watched Christmas in Connecticut and also Miracle on 34th Street. I haven't watched it in a long time. Last time I watched it was 10 years ago. Got to watch it again. You know, they used to show that on WGN Family Classics every year around Christmas time. Okay, so this is Pico Steinitz, your host of Vanishing Outland Stories, the podcast. Thank you again for joining me. I had a great time talking. Everyone have a Merry Christmas, and I will probably do another episode after Christmas. You know, we'll talk about New Year's, and it will be the last podcast of 2022. A lot of fun. Okay, so bye-bye for me, and here's Ray Rayner with a little traveling music saying bye-bye-bye. Take care, everyone. So long.
We have to go. Bye-bye-bye.